This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
Into a very special 2021 SummerSlam Predictions Panel episode of the BCP. Excited to be here with this all-star stellar panel, and please welcome back to the show, finally. I found him wandering the streets looking for retro video games. Please welcome back the best-smelling human on the planet, the rebel heart and soul of the BCP, the goodest brother, Mr. Chris Nunes. Round of applause, everybody. Welcome back, bro. How are you?
I'm doing great. Ready to predict some SummerSlams.
Let's do it, man. Yeah, I'm excited, man. We're going to have a crowd. This is going to be in Vegas. I'm very excited. Guys, let us know in the chat if everything's coming through okay, the audio and all that stuff. We are actually live today, so chime in with your picks as well. And please welcome back to the show. You know her as the goodest sister. She works for everybody but RDP Promotions. She works for Kimmy Talks Wrestling, the No Holds Barred Network, BCP correspondent, her number one duty at all times, of course. Please welcome back into the show the goodest sister, Miss Kimmy. So cool.
Kimmy, so cool.
Wow. That was a nice introduction. We forgot a couple things like the popbreak.com. We forgot Maria. Man. We forgot Damage 365. I'm making slacking, my return over
I
there.
I like Heel Kimmy. Yeah, a little edgier.
Or to Mike, that's just regular.
We turned 20, and we turned heel at 20. Right? Mm.
Yeah, and referring to yourself in the third person as well.
Look at that. Okay.
Classic. Oh, and thank you, Joe, Joe in the chat. Joe Hale, welcome in. Yeah, let us know, guys, if the audio is good. Please share the stream. And, yeah, let us know your picks along the way. And please welcome back to the show from the Closet Champion. He is the Mr. Perfect of the BCP. Please welcome back to the show. And let's be real, Po Buddy's Nerfic, Mr. Mike Mueller. Mike, welcome in, man. How are you? Mueller.
Thank you. Doing great. Happy to be here. Now, I am wondering, I'm a little concerned. Is it going to be bad for your ratings if I just beat Kimmy week after week after week? And is it going to be like NWO, where she never gets the payoff of finally beating me and people are going to...
but you're all talk though. Like
I'm all talk. I'm 10-1, Kimmy.
I mean, the stats don't lie.
I'm 10-1.
Hey, Kimmy, at least you got to win.
I was 3 months undefeated, and then you know you came along, Mister.
Was.
Oh man.
Was.
And then he called me out on Twitter during work. Like
I popped for it.
I have a job.
Hashtag fight forever.
Yes. Peter Walsh is down. I like it.
Save some for the panel, guys. And please welcome back to the show. You know him as hashtag dad instincts. Hashtag lay editor in chief of the popbreak.com. He is a BCP OG, the handsomeness of the BCP, Mr. Bill Bodkin. Welcome in, Bill. How are you?
Well, hello there. Hello. I see the children are already bickering.
Oh,
dad,
yeah.
Dad, get involved. Hold on.
Dad's here.
Dad's there. You
Dad's
go.
Here. For Cheers, now. Bill. Cheers.
The only way I'm getting through a WWE predictions panel is through the spirits of the Irish. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's get into it, guys. We have 10 matches, and Kimmy will yell at me if I miss one. So
don't worry, Kimmy. I'm not going to bring up your record at all. I'm not going to bring up the whole SCU thing at one time. It's not going to happen. You're good. So we're good. Just wanted to throw.
See, this is why Bill's really nice, and Mike's just really mean.
Listen, spoiler alert coming up. Sorry, Rob. I know baby ears over there. He doesn't like his spoilers. But it's going to be a very contentious podcast.
Rob yelled at me and Bill yesterday.
This is like...
You want to talk about a Rob Crowther heel turn? The BCP went to the dark side yesterday.
Yeah, joke's on you guys. I turned heel a long time ago, but I digress. Let's go on. Let's move on. You know what, guys? Let's embrace the vision. Let's get right into it. I'm going to let Kimmy lead this one.
Can we not do this match first?
No.
I'm not ready.
She's not ready.
Like, listen, oldest ride, longest line of complaints. We're doing this match first.
We're doing it first. All right, let's do it.
All right.
Let's embrace.
I'm very curious.
Seth Rollins is there. He's just like, and Seth Rollins. That was good my laugh. I was. You are the Penguin, sir.
Let's rebuild. Let's reclaim. Let's talk about Seth Rollins.
You don't even say it right. Redesign, rebuild, reclaim. Say it right or don't say it at all.
Oh, heel Kimmy.
She burnt it down.
Do you see that picture of Kimmy with the two flipping the bird off? I was like, what happened to sweet, innocent Kimmy?
Tell him why you met. Oh, you turned 20 and then everything changes.
She embraced the vision.
I was mad because my friends made me go take pictures of the sunset. I was
how sorry that you might enjoy the beauty of nature.
What terrible friends.
Oh, go look at this gorgeous thing over here.
I wanted to finish playing Scattergories, and they're like, let's see the sunset.
They don't got
You're taking Scattergories over a sunset?
They don't got that drip.
Yeah, I can't be buying that.
That's it. Well, let's throw it to Kimmy. Joe Hale in the chat saying Edge beats Seth Rollins. But let's throw it to Goodest Sister. Tell us all about this match and why you think Seth Rollins is going to win.
I'd just like to say a big rest in peace to Seth Rollins' 2021 win-loss record. I don't want to see what it looks like. He hasn't won pay-per-view match since Fastlane, which is in February. He beat Shinsuke Nakamura. So here's my thing. Edge hasn't won either since the Royal Rumble. And Edge kind of needs this over Seth. But, like, my heart wants to pick Seth, right? But I don't see him winning. So I'm going to pick Edge, and I'm just going to go cry in the corner because Rollins just doesn't want to win.
No loyalty. No loyalty.
Hold on.
Clearly now.
Every single panel I've done with Bill that's been WWE, Rollins has lost. So it's Bill.
Right. No, it's, I get it. Just think about yourself.
Blame me for your idols and inadequacies in the ring.
Yikes. Wow. Let's throw it to Mr. Perfect of the podcast. Tell him how it's going, man.
Mueller.
Sure. This one's interesting to me for exactly what Kimmy said. I mean, I think both of these guys kind of need a win. Rollins can, I think, take a loss a little bit easier. This really comes down to me is this one match or is this a series of matches? Mm. If it's a series of matches, I can totally see Seth Rollins winning and Edge kind of having to get his revenge. If it's a one-off, I think it's got to be Edge. I don't know what the long-term plans are for these guys. We think there's going to be a draft soon and people are going to get mixed up on the card. So I don't want to look too far into the future right now. I'm going to say Edge. I'm not super confident in it because I think if they want this to be a series of matches, Rollins should win. And I do want to point out too that, you know, some people just shine in certain times of the year, and both these guys are incredible at SummerSlam.
Yes.
Both have very, very good SummerSlam records. Not quite as good as my record, but still both very, very good. And Edge is 11-2. Rollins is 6-1. These guys always bring their A game.
Right, he is. Gives Mr. SummerSlam a right to his name.
Bret Hart is Mr. SummerSlam, so pump the brakes on that. But both these guys, I just gave. Hold on. This is why Kimmy and I have this thing, because I finally give her boy a compliment, and the first thing she does is like try to like slam me down again.
You can't win.
So this is why we will fight forever. And Edge is gonna win. Now I was feeling a little bad about my pick. Now I'm happy. I hope Edge beats him in 30 seconds.
Wow, this is very interesting. Summer in the chat saying Seth Rollins all the way. There you go, Kimmy. All right, we'll see what happens. Goodest Brother, let's throw it to you, man. Your thoughts on this one?
So it's one of those things where Edge doesn't need this win. I feel like out of all the legends that Rollins has beaten, Edge is the only one that he hasn't beaten. I feel like, first off, this is going to be locked for match of the night. I'm going to say that right now. I think this is going to be match of the night. They're going to pull out all the stops. There's no stipulation on this. Am I correct? It's just one-on-one.
No. True.
I think Rollins takes it. I mean, and Mike brings up a very good point. I didn't even think of, you know, if they do a series of matches, you know, as far as I don't know if the storyline's going to go personal. Right now it's just a straight-up one-on-one match. I don't know if they're going to bring personal things and, you know, as far as Becky or Beth Phoenix, you know, we'll see as far as that goes.
That'd be fun.
I do think Seth takes it, though.
I like that idea, though, Nunes, outside the box thinking, you know, moving forward, three steps ahead like chess. I like it. Bill, your thoughts on this one?
I was talking to Kimmy about this, and the thing that sucks about Seth Rollins losing so much this year is they kind of threw away his WrestleMania loss, because I was one of those people who was like, yeah, if Cesaro beats him, what's he going to do? And it's exactly what they always do with him. They're like, he wins the big match. And then he goes into the ether, never to be seen again until 6 months later, when they're like, Cesaro's so great. Have him win and go away. You know, it's just this weird thing. So that's why Rollins really should have won there, because they didn't do anything really with Cesaro. So, but at the same time, you have Edge. Oh, hello. I heard myself. With Edge, it's like you've had him lose almost every match he's been in. He's lost to Roman. He's lost to Roman and Bryan. He's lost. And so you need to build him back up for this equity of that he is still a big deal. And if Seth Rollins loses, Seth Rollins loses nothing, because he's still Seth Rollins. People still like him. He's still really good in the ring. Nothing's going to change about Seth Rollins' position on the card. He's not one of these people that's going to be worried about getting fired. I hope, because that would be really dumb.
Why do you got to throw that into the universe?
I throw everything to the universe. My third eye is open. Don't worry. So, a little Matt Sydal reference for everyone that maybe two people got. But anyway, so it's like, and also a whole bunch of people who did ayahuasca in a bathtub in Brooklyn, but that's another story for people I know. Anyway, I'd really think that, you know, this is going to be Edge's thing. Like Mike was saying, if this is a series, Rollins should be score the first one.
Yeah.
Match of the night, like Nunes says. That's the lock, Rob. That's your lock right there.
Really? So this is interesting. Oh,
for sure. Like, look at this card. This is going to be the best wrestling match on the card.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, you almost swayed me, Bill, a little bit. So I'm actually going with Kimmy's guy, Seth Rollins, on this one. I think Edge is – this is so weird. I think Edge is in kind of in that Daniel Bryan spot almost, where he's, like, just thankful to be between those ropes again, man. He's happy to put anyone over. They talk about this 7-year buildup and whatnot. And I always say those Shield guys, they can win at any time, win a title, Money in the Bank at any time. So I'm actually going to go with Seth Rollins to burn it down here. Very interesting.
Can we talk about how this match has been 7 years in the making, from December 2014 to now?
Did they actually talk about it, or are we just bringing it up?
No, they did.
They brought it up.
Congratulations.
Not enough. That should have been the center point of
long-term storytelling that they backed into.
Can we also talk about how Rollins...
They're just like, didn't realize that one.
That's right. Yeah, we've been talking about that all along. Yeah. Storytelling. Oh, boy.
But Rollins' gear on Saturday, because Rollins always pulls out that amazing SummerSlam gear. No. We had the all-white. We had the Thanos.
Drip. Hashtag wrestling fashion. I'm excited for it.
I think
it's gonna be the Rock from Jungle Cruise. That's gonna
No.
This is so good.
Cross promotion.
So last year he copied Mysterio's like purple
that was cool.
Question mark gear from Halloween Havoc 97, which I wasn't
favorite matches.
I wasn't born yet, guys. Just want to throw that out there. Wasn't born. Anyway. I think he does something of Edge's gear, because one of the weeks before they made this match a match, he had like his suit, of course, drip, and it had stars on it. So I think he copies one of Edge's gears to, you know, play a little mind tricks like last year.
Oh, there you go. That's an interesting point.
I'd support that.
Very interesting. Let's move on here. Shout to Wes in the chat. Wes, what's up, bro? How are you? Thanks for the shout out. Summer saying she loves Seth as a heel. Very cool. Joe Hale checks in, says, I think Edge wins with a couple spears. Yeah, for sure. Reinforcement right there. Let's move on to Little Miss Bliss taking on Eva Marie. I'm just going to say Alexa Bliss here, and you know, period, stop. Nunes, what do you got?
I'm going to keep that short and sweet. We're going to go with Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, is it because we don't want even? I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Like, I want Piper Niven to be Piper Niven and not with her. That's what I'm concerned about.
I refuse to call her by the name they call her on TV.
Yeah,
it's Piper Niven. I don't know why they're doing that with her.
One of Vax's favorites.
That's a whole other story. But just Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, she's riding that wave right now. Yeah, let's throw it to Mike.
Yeah, I think Eva Marie is one of those characters that benefits by never winning, because it's like she has no reason to be as full of herself as she is, and she is very convincing, and she thinks she's the hottest thing walking. I don't think she should ever win a singles match. I think she should only win tag matches when Piper Niven does all the work and she comes in and gets the pin, a la Mr. Fuji from the Powers of Pain days.
Nice.
Powers of Pain autograph on the wall.
They're still both huge. Even though they're old, they're both mountains of humans.
They're like top of the list of people that I haven't met that I want to meet. I mark out so hard for the Powers of Pain. I don't know what's going on with Alexa Bliss. This character needs to end. But until it does, I think this is an easy win for her.
Yeah, very, very well said. Welcome in Papa. So cool.
Oh, man. Yes.
There he is. Yes.
The original staff.
That's another reason why I came on here.
Make him proud, Kimmy. What do you got?
Okay, so I just want to ask, who watched Raw on Monday? Did anyone watch Raw on Monday?
I'd say about
this podcast, I watched these.
Okay.
About 60 to 70% I watched.
I watched the highlights.
So this is what's going to happen. Eva Marie's not wrestling. It's going to be Doudrop.
I'm sorry. I don't know who that is.
It's going to be Piper Niven. Yeah, okay. So now Alexa Bliss is going to beat Piper Niven, and Eva Marie is going to be so upset like she was on Monday. And then they're going to split up, and then Eva Marie is going to be Eva Marie, and Piper Niven is going to be Piper Niven, and we can all just be happy that this is over.
Yeah, I'm
Eva Marie
that.
Needs to bring back her old D music, by the way, with the
announcer.
Eva
yeah.
Marie.
Yes.
That needs to come back. I was very sad when that didn't come back.
Bill, what is your thought on this one, my friend?
This is locked for worst thing of the night, for sure. I don't think we're going to have a finish. I think we're going to go on a ride. And I feel somehow Doudrop is going to be this doll that's going to be, we've been looking at. Somehow she's morphed into this doll. There's going to be something with that stupid ass doll that's going to happen. And I could see them like morphing, like putting her under mind control, and she morphs into it. And there's going to be some cinematic element of it. This is going to be absolute hot garbage. And we're just all going to be there being like, good. I only have a finite amount of time on this planet, in this mortal coil, and I wasted it with this. Amen.
Man.
There it is. I still say Alexa Bliss and Lily.
No love for Lily?
Your WWE.
I didn't even know what the name of the damn doll was. I'm just like, that's
good. It doesn't matter.
The teeth, man. I like the teeth.
I could see them transforming, or she mind controls her into becoming the doll.
Yeah. No, I totally see something like that. Or
because it's the worst idea ever, so it's going to happen.
Or someone gets called up and then is Lily or something like that again. I'm not trying to be disrespectful there, but like they've been seeing what sticks to the wall right now, and we're in this weird, bizarre world.
Potential at this point.
All right. Let's move on from this.
I'm just going to ask a real question, just a real legitimate question about this. Are crowds reacting to this, like the Alexa Bliss character and this?
They're chanting, "We want Wyatt."
So you're telling me people like guy with one win, Fuego del Sol in AEW, more than established superstar Alexa Bliss? That's what. Okay, that's there. You go.
I might be reaching a little bit, but
I mean. Right there chanting, "We want Wyatt" in front of.
But that's, I mean, it's an issue on her character. I don't think on Alexa.
Back. I missed
no, that. No, no, no. Yeah. It has nothing to do with her as a wrestler and a talent. She's exactly. fantastic.
I want to make that distinction.
Why can't every girl be like Alexa?
People don't care.
Fuego del Sol is more over than Alexa with Lily. Fuego del Sol is not more over than Alexa.
No, as Alexa Bliss, who would. Against Ronda, or when she would like do that thing with her arm, which always
the double jointed, creepy.
That's the creepiest thing.
Forget the doll.
Yeah, the doll. This whole thing that they think is so great is not as over as a guy from Alabama in a mask.
Wow. Let's take it to the chat real quick. Damian Jones, sup to the entire panel. What's up, Damian? How are you, bro? Wes Evitz, WWE has a lot of wasted time. That's why Kyle. And my show is NXT and TakeOver 36. All right.
End of an era, but that'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, that's tomorrow night. We'll talk about that.
I
want
to give you a hug because of that.
Joe Hale saying the match of the night is going to be Orton and Riddle versus AJ and Omos. So, welcome in General Manager of Titan Championship Wrestling, SP Anderson, to the chat. Welcome
hey
in.
Yo.
Hey, man. Everyone's here. Guys, thanks for chiming in and let us know your picks along the way. Let's go right to it. Let's go to RK-Bro taking on AJ Styles, the Phenomenal One, and Omos. I'll just say this. You know, you guys know my thoughts on Riddle outside the ring stuff. Not a fan. But as far as booking and character work and all that stuff, this RK-Bro thing is pretty brilliant. You know, remind you of what was the team called with Pete Dunne?
The Broserweights.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, so they kind of picked up on that. The merch is pretty stellar. Anytime, like, he goes, Randy, like,
it shouldn't work, man.
It shouldn't, but
it shouldn't work.
And, you know, like, this kind of tweener good guy Orton is not... necessarily refreshing, but it's different because he's been doing the same thing for so long. I don't want to get Bill started, but I think it's interesting, and I think they are going to be this team to win the titles here. I think AJ takes the pin, and inevitably, you know, he's already RKO'd Riddle, and they're still together. I think Cena came out and, like, made them hug or something off air or something like that. So I think they win the titles here. It seems like to be, like, the fun thing going on right now, just purely in terms of booking and character work and all that stuff. Let's throw it to Bill.
This is the most interesting thing Randy Orton has ever done. Also, with this facial hair, he looks like EC3's douchebag stepdad. And I'm not the only person who brought that up on social media. Many a wrestling journalist have been like, wow, he's essentially EC3. And I'm like, yeah, he is. The fact they almost broke them up and then they had to quickly put them back together means they did not. They were thinking this was not going to work, but this is the best thing for those two guys. It's worked really well. Just let something be fun. This is fun.
Exactly.
This is good. I think Omos has actually gotten better in the ring. Him and AJ have a nice chemistry, so I think RK-Bro will win the match, and I think it'll be a fun match. I think, yeah, you know, AJ Styles knows how to work with everybody, and, like, both teams have a nice chemistry, so I think RK-Bro comes out on top.
Interesting. Welcome John Perry to the chat. Summer chiming in and says, Randy's going to give Riddle that final RKO. That could happen, too. Very interesting. Let's throw it to the goodest sister.
That's me. Hello. So here's my problem. We still don't have any tag teams. So where the hell is this going?
They're going to fight forever because that's what you do.
It's just
going
to go back and forth.
I thought Nunes was like, me and Rob are going to debut on Raw. Right,
it's an eventual thing.
I know.
We're going to be security guards.
So yeah, I'm going to... Nice.
Oh, janitors.
I'm going to pick RK-Bro, but I need tag teams to be brought up from NXT so we can have a tag team division.
Or so they can run them.
You know, I think Raw doesn't know what a tag team division is. I think that we get confused.
WWE doesn't.
So I think they do. Can you name me 5 tag teams on the WWE brand?
Yes.
This is a real
Street Profits, the Hurt, the Street Profits, the New Day, the Viking Raiders,
Los Mysterios,
RK-Bro,
Usos.
Oh,
they could have had Everrise, but, you know, they're fighting tonight against Sting.
Good for them, by the way.
So, yeah. They have some tag teams. They just don't know what to do with them.
Reese chiming in on the chat saying RK-Bro are going to be the oddest couple of tag team champions ever. Very, very interesting. Mike, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I got RK-Bro, too. I think Riddle and Orton are the best thing on Raw, which is not, I mean, it's kind of like being the fastest sloth in the jungle. It doesn't really say a whole lot, but it's the only thing that I enjoy watching. I'll tell you that right now. It's the only thing I seek out. And Rob, I'm exactly like you. I'm not a Matt Riddle, the person fan, but I have to admit that I'm a Matt Riddle, the character fan. Yeah, I think you nailed it. AJ takes the loss, protect almost for as long as you can. I don't think he should be taking a loss, for a while until you decide what you want to do with him in his first real run. I can see them splitting up soon. As Kimmy said, they don't really have tag teams, but we'll see where it goes. We need some fun moments. I think there's going to be two, just give the people what they want. Happy, fun moments. This is one of them. We'll get to the other one when we get to it.
Yeah. This is why you're here. We're on the same page. I like it. SP Anderson saying they just ruined good NXT tag teams.
Yes.
Except the Street Profits who stole my gimmick. Okay. Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks, SP, for checking in. Nooner.
So the past couple of years, you know, out of everything that's been going on with WWE, for some reason, they do odd couple tag teams real well. Whether it's Ricochet and Aleister Black, whether it's the Broserweights, whether it's RK-Bro, the
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Sure. Which ended up being one of the best tag teams.
Yeah.
I mean, the jury's still out on, Zoe Stark and Io Shirai.
I like it
They're trying to do that too as well. But I got RK-Bro on this one. Styles is one of the guys on the roster that doesn't need a title to be important. You will watch Styles no matter if he's a champion or not. I think they'll keep him and Amos together because Amos still needs a little guidance. But eventually they're going to try to build around him. Like you said, we need fun. RK-Bro is fun. It shouldn't work, but it really does. I don't know why. And they're going to win.
Interesting stuff, guys. Well, let's go to Usos versus Los Mysterios. Now, this is interesting because they've been going back and forth. You guys know my feelings. I've said so many times on the show I felt the Los Mysterios should win the titles in front of a crowd. Should have been saved for Mania, for that Mania moment. So that being said, they're running it back. It's a great SummerSlam match. It's going to be a really good match. This could be a sleeper too, guys. It could be fantastic. I've been very impressed with Dominik since, what, last year's SummerSlam, was it? It was against Seth.
Oh, yes, when Rollins beat him.
There it is.
Yeah, when Rollins beat him.
But I was very impressed.
Stellar win for Seth.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Beating the rookies. That's what we got to do.
Really knocking him out of the park there, Kenny.
Oh. Thank you. And that was match of the night. Every other SummerSlam match he's had was match of the night.
Oh, man. John Perry saying the Los Mysterios win the title. Wes saying, I love Stoey as a singles competitor. Yeah, they're all great. And I love Io as a singles competitor as well. But I'm just going to say, you know, Los Mysterios are my guys. I'd love to see them win at SummerSlam. I just think it's pointless to take the titles off the Usos right now. It doesn't make any sense. We're building up the bloodline. I'm expecting to see some new members down the line. No pun intended. So I'm going to go with the Usos. What do you got, Us?
Yeah, I'm going with the Usos as well. This will be a very good match. A lot of lucha things will happen, a lot of high flying. But at the end of the day, they need to keep this bloodline going, and I think the Usos are going to win.
Well said. Let's go to Mike.
Yeah, you know, same Usos. They've bought into what Roman Reigns is saying, and they're being rewarded for their loyalty and for their dedication, and the Roman Reigns way works. He's the head of the table for a reason. So as long as they're buying in and everything's copacetic within that unit, I think that they're going to hold on to these titles for quite a while. But if you go back to the first time I was on the BCP, the real story of this is we are seeing the beginning of the split. Dominik is going to turn on Rey Mysterio. It's not happening exactly the way I thought it was going to be, where Dominik was the only one that could do anything on the team and he would get sick of carrying his dad and having to get all the victories. They're playing it out a little bit different. They're playing it out more as just like the cocky, I don't want to listen to my, you know, my dad kind of kid. So it's fine, but it's happening. Maybe he still doesn't, you know, like totally attack Ray, but there will be a very clear, this is the beginning of the end for the Mysterios, and he's going to retire his dad in a year or less.
Interesting. See, I would say, like, no way. I don't see that. Like, how could that work? Like, how good would Dominik be as a heel? But Mike is so right so much of the time. Like, his long-term mind for, like, long-term booking is very, very interesting. So this should be good. Oh, what, Kimmy, what do you got something over there? What do you got? What do you got, Kimmy?
It's just heat at this point.
Long-term storytelling. Mike's a genius.
I'm not a genius.
That was spot on for Rob. Wow.
It is true.
I'm not a genius. I just understand the way current WWE creative works pretty well, and that's not a check for me in the plus column necessarily.
Wow.
When I'm on the same page with WWE creative, that's not me bragging. Wow. I'm just saying that's where it's going.
Yeah. Goodest sister, what you got for us?
It does not make sense for you to take the tag titles off the Usos when you're trying to build the bloodline up. And the bloodline storyline is the most interesting thing in WWE programming right now. The Usos will take the W.
Man, we're like very much on the same page today. This is an interesting panel.
I know.
A couple people weighing in on the chat. John saying Rey Mysterio or the Los Mysterios win the title. Usos win, says Joe. Reese says the gold is staying in the Uso penitentiary. Summer says Dominik turns on his dad. So as well, there you go. This is interesting. One-ish. But what does lay editor-in-chief have to say? That's what I want to know.
Lay editor.
There's no way the Mysterios should be the Usos. The Mysterios, in my opinion, when it comes to talent level, is a one-man team, and it ain't Dominik. It's Rey. He's the best. Dominik is Eric Watts right now, and if you know who Eric Watts is, oh,
Dominik is miles ahead of Eric Watts.
Maybe 2 miles.
But that's fine.
But not by much. He's not.
That's almost as bad as saying he's David Sammartino. Like, let's pump the brakes.
Let's not go that far. But I mean, it's just, Dominik, I'm not a big fan of Dominik. Really? I liked his stuff at, you know, when they did with Brock, but since he's become into the tag team, I'm just like, oof, he is not it for me, guys. And, I think the big win should go, if you're going to do it, have it a better team. I think it should be like a Street Profits or if there's going to be another super team that teams up to take them out. It has to be someone a big, like the Mysterios. I can definitely see them breaking up, and you know, maybe Dominic leads his own Lucha faction with, you know, the various mask guys they just haven't fired yet, and they could just be like, "You're me."
I knew that was coming.
Hey, listen, they don't care, so why should I? It's the thing. So I think I could see that happening, but man, like, it's like if Ray were into like a super team, like a Ray Jeff Hardy team would have been a better team than him and Dominic. I know they want to do the father something, but it's just like, to me, this team doesn't work. And it's got to be the Usos. They're red hot, but you have to have a better feud for them. And I could even see them bringing the New Day back to fight them, because New Day is not doing too much right now. So yeah, I'm gonna go Usos.
Wow, very interesting. No, no love for Dominic though. I've been very impressed with. Obviously, I'm biased. I'll be the first one to say. But is it the wrestling, Bill, or is it like the persona, like the super baby face?
Yes.
just seeing Bill freeze up before he said that, I was just waiting for it. I was just like, oh, I mean, boy.
He's got the personality in my left sneaker that's downstairs.
Yes.
He's not exactly the piece. He's a guy who will be a. Who could be a good wrestler
just
one day?
Not right now.
They put him on the main roster. They're asking him to do a lot. Yeah. Whereas he would be a guy who would be perfect in NXT, learning and getting his. No, I know I got something on my nose, but I was just kidding. I got it. So it's you know, he would be great learning right now. You know, instead of being like, hey, we're gonna shove you into the main event, and then big picture, it's just like the thing with Brock was perfect. Perfect with Brock, but with right now asking him to carry a heavy load, to me it's not working. He needs to be in NXT, and when he would have that run, then he comes back up, and I'm sure he'll be really good.
Well, speaking of being shoved to the main event, let's talk about Goldberg. No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about. Let's go.
Let's get it over with.
Are we doing it now?
No, you're the host, dude. You
do it now.
Am I though?
Get it over
am
with
I
now.
Though? Let's do it. Goldberg taking on Bobby Lashley. Bill, you had some thoughts on this one last time. I'm just going to boomerang it right back to you, my friend. Your thoughts on your good buddy, your fellow Bill, Mr. Bill Goldberg, taking on Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship.
This match is going to suck.
I mean, let's yes.
But let's look at it fairly, though.
I don't want to.
Bobby Lashley should be Goldberg.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the thing. Bobby Lashley should be Goldberg. So whoever beats Bobby Lashley, you could say, like, look who Bobby Lashley beat. He beat Drew McIntyre multiple times. He beat Braun Strowman. He beat Bill Goldberg. Wow. Whoever beats him, who I believe will be a Money in the Bank cash-in, which could very much happen at some point, whether it be through the draft or some point tonight, because I got wild theories about wild things. So,
me too.
Wild Bill.
Yeah, but, I mean, you also then need Goldberg. But you have to figure out Goldberg, because – I hate to say it, but you have to keep Bill Goldberg strong in some ways, because you still have him for another year or two for a couple matches, and you want the return on investment. Goldberg has lost at WrestleMania in 2020. He lost to Drew McIntyre. I'm pretty sure everyone thinks he's going to lose tonight, at SummerSlam. So three big losses in a row. You have to do something to build him up post this, like maybe have him beat the crap out of someone on Raw, and then have him come back and then position him differently where he has to be like a special guest tag team partner. Because I think this was Bill Goldberg's final time you could put him in the main event. Because every time he's in there, he loses. He looks like and when he fought Drew, he looked like a retired cop who was in his first MMA class. I mean, like, he did not look like he was ready to go. He was wearing basketball shorts and a t-shirt. And it's like, okay, I get it. You know, you're on a 2-match-a-year contract, but like, I think you've got to position him in a way where people will pop for the entrance. He does his little spot pull, and you keep him special, because you just can't keep beating your legends all the time, because you want the people to keep coming back to them. If you keep beating them, they're like, I don't care about this guy. Why should I care about Bill Goldberg? All he does is lose. And if you're, especially if you're someone newer and you're like, well, you can't wait around forever for his son to be a wrestler, because God, he's involved in every angle Bill Goldberg does. He's like, you're the reason I'm here. It's the money, pal. It's not your kid. It's the lots of money they're paying you. So you got to keep him strong in some way, but there's no way he should be Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley's been great as champion, and he should kick the shit out of Goldberg. And he should, and this should be a very short match. my rant should be longer. It should be longer than this match.
Yeah, it's funny. Wes actually chiming in the comments saying this conversation will last longer than the Goldberg match.
So. Should.
But you have a great point, Bill. Like, looking at it from all angles, that's a great point. You keep bringing in these legends, and they keep losing, losing, losing. What's going to keep us interested in them? Very interesting. John saying Goldberg will be the new champion. Joe Hale going the other way, saying Lashley wins, and we want Brock. I'll echo that sentiment, not necessarily that I want Brock, but I think the match.
I was gonna say, I don't think you do.
I think the match that people wanted was Lashley-Brock, and for whatever reason, we couldn't get that, or Brock's not with them anymore, whatever is really going on here. We got Lashley-Goldberg instead, which, I use this word a lot, should be interesting. But I think eventually, a lot of people are saying Goldberg wins, then Brock shows up. I could see something like that happening. I think that's what they're going for. Maybe that's too many legends involved in one thing. I just thought the goal would be to have Lashley Brock in some form or fashion, maybe it's Survivor Series. Although I think the big return would probably be The Rock for something like that. But I think the title stays on Lashley in some form or fashion here. Nunes, what do you got?
So I'm very confused on why they keep going back to Goldberg. I love me some Goldberg if this was 1998. I don't know why they keep going back to him. I love Goldberg. But I think his peak with them using him in a legend role was him versus Brock in 2016, 2017. After that, I was very surprised that they brought him back at all, and they even put a belt on him. Lashley has been on a great run. He's looked strong. I don't agree with them breaking up the Hurt Business. It's one of the best things that was going on during the pandemic. That stable was awesome. I love MVP as a mouthpiece. Lashley looks like the beast that he's always should have been booked as. Lashley wins this easily. This should not be a drawn-out match. This should be quick.
I think you're right.
You know, I feel bad because I do like Goldberg, but the position they put him in is just, like you guys have said, like he just keeps losing, and it's just a lot of fans are like, you know, why invest if he's going to lose? But I think WWE books on his name alone that even if he loses, like, people will still care. After a while, like, if a guy loses over and over, it doesn't matter who he is. So I think Lashley wins this one.
Interesting. Nunes getting some love in the chat here from Wes. Reese saying Goldberg can't jackhammer anyone anymore. And then Joe Hale saying Brock comes back at the Rumble. Interesting, guys. I know I use that word a lot. Kimmy, do we get to you on this one?
Y'all gonna love this theory.
Seth Rollins beats them both.
No. So I think we're going to have a cash-in.
Yeah.
I think.
Here?
Yep. So if you paid attention, Big E has been talking about this dream match with Goldberg. So I think this match lasts 5 minutes with Goldberg winning. Wait. Because this goes back to what we were saying about the New Day. You put Big E cashes it on Goldberg, Big E wins, and the whole New Day's back together on Raw. And we have a whole big happy New Day family, and we could all live so happily ever after. And that kills the fact that Drew won't be floating around doing nothing, because Drew could challenge Big E. Big E could go after Bobby Lashley. He could go after all these new feuds. So we don't have the problem on Raw where we haven't been building a superstar to face Lashley, a Clash of Champions. See how many problems this solves. You're welcome. Book me for creative.
Wow. I don't hate it, Kimmy, because I do think that Big E at some point is going to cash in on Lashley. But the Goldberg thing is interesting. So I'm not going to knock it because, again, you have some moving parts here where things, like you said, work out for, you know, booking moving forward. That's very interesting. I thought Big E would cash in and Lashley in some form or fashion because I feel that, not necessarily like the New Day is together, but I feel that they've been telegraphing that Woods turn in some form or fashion. So that should be interesting. You got me thinking different, Kimmy. I don't hate it, Kimmy. I don't hate it. Mike, did we get to you on this one, bro?
No, we didn't. And I do want to say that I do hate it. I think that's a terrible idea.
You're just saying it because I said it.
No. I could see exactly what you said playing out, but with him cashing in on Lashley, because then what? A face is cashing in on another face after a 5 minute match. Like, I don't think that does anything for Big E at all. If he cashes in on Lashley, that to me is at least impressive. I think Lashley's going to win this match as well. I don't think there's going to be a cash-in tonight, although I certainly wouldn't hate it. But I do want to say that even though he seems like a sure thing, let us not forget that we are in that spot with Edge and Goldberg, where how many losses are we just going to give him? And Goldberg is one of those people who is better with the title, even if he's not a good champion. Champion Goldberg is better than not champion Goldberg to me. That it makes him seem more credible and more legitimate. And they have tried several times to make him the champ, to give him that credibility. And then they had him destroy Brock Lesnar right when he came back. And then he beats Kevin Owens for the title. Then he beats The Fiend for the title. Like, this is something that they do with Goldberg. They think that more people would buy into it if he was the champion. I hope that doesn't happen here. His loss to Drew a few months back really encourages me that he's going to take another loss here. But it's like, there's a lot of things that I would be shocked if they happened. I would not be shocked if Goldberg won. My jaw wouldn't drop an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, interesting. But that's good. Like, because my first thought is it's going to be Lashley no matter what, because they keep doing the same thing. But you guys bring up some very good points. Like, let's not absolutely demolish these legends because they become not worthless, but you don't, like Bill always says, like, you don't believe in them, you have nothing to root for. So that's very, very interesting. Let's move on to Damian Priest taking on Sheamus for the United States Championship. I'm going to say this is one of two titles that's going to change hands at SummerSlam, and I think Damian Priest is going to be your new United States Champion because he had a interesting thing going with Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny did a great job, owned all of that. We talked about that already. But I think Damian Priest just needs something, and maybe that championship will be that something. So I'm going to go Damian Priest here. Goodest brother?
Another short and sweet answer. I think it's still going to be Sheamus. I feel like they haven't, ever since that whole thing with Bad Bunny, they haven't really done anything with Damian Priest.
He almost got eaten by zombies.
Oh, right, that's true. Yeah, that's right. So,
survived.
He did.
Right.
But I don't think at this point putting a title on him would make sense. I feel like they do need to build him up more. Mm-hmm. I could say that about most of the roster. But at this point, I think Sheamus will win.
Sheamus retained from the goodest brother. Let's throw it to the goodest sister.
Remember when I said on the WrestleMania podcast that this should have happened right after WrestleMania?
I have no short-term memory.
And it's happening how many months later? Oof. I think Priest has to win. I don't think Sheamus needs the U.S. title right now. I mean, he's still battling an injury. He still has his protective face mask on. And I think Priest needs something because he isn't the youngest guy on the roster. And you don't want to pull that trigger when it's too late, like WWE tends to do. So I'm going with Priest.
Interesting. Mueller.
My notes are pretty much an amalgam of what everybody just said. Damian Priest is 39 years old. He's not getting any younger.
Nothing wrong with that.
What's up?
Nothing wrong with that.
No. So he's old. I think they do have faith in him. I mean, he's beaten John Morrison about 18,000 times since January. So clearly they think he can beat one person. Sheamus, I think, has been a great heel champion. He's ducking challenges for as long as he can, and then when he does have to defend himself, he's winning by any means necessary. I think he's done a great job with the title. It's a title that often gets shoved to the side, and I'm glad to see that they're at least giving it a little bit of a storyline. Sheamus's mask is really fun. I hope he like pulls a Bob Orton and just keeps that thing on for like 3 years for no reason. I love it. I can never see enough people punch the mask and hurt their hand. Like, that's such a great spot for me. But he doesn't need the title anymore. He's done as much as he can with it. And I think it's going to be sort of a Hail Mary thing where it's like, well, if we put the title on Priest, then maybe people will get into it. Cause I myself am not a Damian Priest fan, but I think the WWE has a lot of faith in him. And I think he's your new US champ.
Interesting. Bill Bodkin.
Yeah. I'm going to go Priesty here because they got nothing for him. And I think this is like a last-ditch effort for him. If he doesn't win, man, oh, man, you're not going to see a lot of him going forward because they won't know what to do with him. I didn't even know if they know what to do with him once they put the belt on him. I mean, if you look at what Sheamus has done when he's had that belt, I mean, he's fought the same dudes over and over and over and over again. Johnny Dimples, what the hell is that guy's name again?
John Laurinaitis.
No. Johnny Dimples is a name I came up with. The luchador.
Oh, Humberto Carrillo?
With Humberto Carrillo. He's just like Johnny Dimples. He just comes out with his big old dimps and same result every time. Just loses badly. And it's just like, I don't know what, if they know what to do with him. I just feel like they'll just move him back into a feud with The Miz and John Morrison. He'll eventually drop the belt to The Miz. But I think you got to put it on Damian Priest. You got to do something with the guy. He's a talented guy, and he's not my favorite, but the dude is talented. He's worked hard to get there. Give him a shot with it. That's what I think. And Mike, you had raised your hand so ever so politely.
I did. We can wait until it comes up, but I know what they're going to do with Priest. I know what his first challenge is going to be after him and Sheamus sort their stuff out.
He's coming out, and he's going to be like, you and me, pal.
Who?
Bad Bunny's coming back.
He's got the Bad Bunny.
They're going to feud, and Bad Bunny's going to take it.
Yes, he'll be a Bad Bunny.
With an inside cradle.
Nice. Let's talk about Bianca Sasha. Obviously, as there's reports, that it's not going to happen, but WWE.
No, they just cleared it. It just was cleared earlier today.
That's good. That's great. That's great. Man.
Losing that match would have been a huge blow for that card.
I agree. I'm excited for it. The first one was great. That might have been one of my favorites at WrestleMania. Just the moment and the entrances alone. The match was good. Like I'd always been saying, they had Bianca at like 60%. They really held her back so she could show up and show out at Mania. I think we're doing the same thing here at SummerSlam. This is another one that could be a match of the night. Oh, man, this is tough for me. I'm going to go Sasha wins this one just because thinking moving forward, Bianca's looks strong. No one can really take her out. But again, if someone is returning, I don't know if it's going to be to Raw or if it's going to be to SmackDown, but just moving forward with that forward booking, that Sasha-Becky feud hasn't really happened as much as the other feuds. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there ever a big Becky-Sasha?
Yeah. They fought in Hell in the Cell.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But I'm thinking that might be it, or maybe
not
on the other brand. But I'm going to go, but regardless of that, I'm going to go Sasha here. I'm rooting for Bianca, but I think Sasha's going to get the big win here. Let's throw it to the goodest sister.
So, I'm shocked that this is the hardest match for you to predict and not the other women's match we have on the card.
No, I have no clue where to go on that.
So, I think that the red brand is going to see the man and Monday Night Rollins return when we get that draft. So, I don't think the man is going to the blue brand. Up by Mike. See you later.
I was adjusting my light.
Oh, I thought you were actually leaving.
No. I didn't realize you also had a ravishing Rick Rude t-shirt on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I was trying to figure out what that was.
Yes, I love it, bro.
All you sweat hogs.
Thanks for interrupting.
You're very welcome.
You okay?
Thank you so much. So I'm going to go with Bianca because I think out of both the Raw and SmackDown roster, that the SmackDown women's roster is a little bit more in depth and they have a lot of things to do. Naomi's on there and no one's talked about that. You just brought up Storm.
They're going to do the same thing with her they do all the time. They're going to give her a couple big entrances and then have her disappear for 6 months.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying things that could happen. You just brought up Toni Storm. The only thing with Bianca's literally wrestled Carmella 1,600 million times, and that's it. So you haven't really gave her a run yet, and I feel like that's why Bianca will win and Sasha wins. And yeah, but just those two.
I'm a little scared of heel Kimmy. I'm a little shook. Nunes, what do you got on this one?
So at WrestleMania, when they gave the belt to Rhea and they gave the belt to Bianca, it almost was like a dawning of a new era, almost like a WrestleMania 21 type feel when they gave the belts to Batista and Cena, almost like a changing of the guard. I do believe that I do believe that Bianca's gonna have a long title run. This inclusion now of Carmella and Zelina kind of being Sasha's lackeys is an interesting type deal. So they will come into play at some point, but I do think that Bianca is going to prevail, and she's going to have a long title reign.
Going with Bianca. Let's go with Mueller.
I got Bianca here, but I don't like it. This is me picking with my head, not with my heart. I think it's better booking to have Sasha win this because what I said on a previous podcast, my issue with Bianca Belair is she is like so she is so damn good and so far has been so untouchable. And like, I have a hard time like emotionally getting behind her because I don't feel like I've ever seen her struggle. Like, and I don't, and she's told her story and she's done her thing, but for a bit, like the reason why I want to root for a babyface champion is because I want to see them finally climb that mountain that they, that took them so long to do. So I think that she could, like, I like her as a champion and she can have a long title run, but it's right. She, talk about strapping a rocket to someone, man. They strapped a rocket to her and she deserves everything that she's gotten. But I don't emotionally care about Bianca Belair at all. I love watching her matches. I love all that stuff. I think they're going to keep the title on her. I think Rob was onto something there. I like the idea of some comebacks possibly with Sasha. I don't think that has to be for the title though right away. The four horsewomen can always have like a blood feud kind of thing. But I would book it as Sasha, but I think they're going to sort of play it safe and keep the title on Bianca for now.
Yeah, interesting. And never pick with your heart, man. So let's throw it to Bill.
I am going to say, go for what Mike said and been saying, picking the safe bet. And I think that's Sasha, because I feel like Sasha's right now more of the draw than Bianca. Like, Bianca's become a little stale with her title run because they've done nothing good for her to make us believe and get behind it. And they just, like, it's the same matches all the time. It's the general issue with WWE. It's just like, we want to care. We want to invest. And you invested in Bianca well leading up to the match with some of the vignettes and stuff and her time at NXT. But these two women, that match was really good and was special, not because of anything WWE did to promote it. Yeah. It was because they're great. And I think they're going to go back to Sasha for this one. I just see that happening. I just see them. They moved off of Rhea kind of quick. I think they're going to, and everything, I don't know, just something, everything happening with NXT right now, and she's an NXT original, I could, like, homegrown, I could see them just moving it off of her. And then we have another, then we go for Sasha, maybe we go Sasha Bianca 3 at a Hell in a Cell type thing, unless we've done that, or we did that already because they changed the fucking dates. So why have that be a logical conclusion to a feud?
Oh, they could do it at Extreme Rules. That's the October pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. So you could do a last woman standing between those three, and that would be cool. Then have Bianca win it there. I think they're going to change the title for short-term ratings things, and I also think just to give both of them something to do. Because I think after this feud, I think I wouldn't be surprised if Sasha leaves again to go do Star Wars again.
She just came back.
Well, I don't think that's it for her. I think there's going to be a lot coming for her in terms of movie roles and stuff. So I don't see her being a full-timer for like long spurts.
Very well said, guys. You guys bring up some great points. Because I love Bianca and I've been a proponent of Bianca for so long, but that's a great point. Like, there's no conflict, you know, there's no struggle. She's been on top. Yeah, that's good.
And I love
it. I've been about it, but to get that emotional investment, you do need that struggle, like we always talk about Johnny. That
you got to get the hero something to climb up back up from. You got to give him some adversity.
Waiting, what was it? The waiting is the hardest part, or whatever. Yep. Yeah. So that's a really great point by you guys. But let's move on to the match that we brought up a little bit: Rhea taking on Nikki Ash versus Charlotte Flair. I have no idea where to go on this one. I think my pick is just going to be based on Becky coming back. That being said, I hate to say it, just because they've been kind of poking at each other in their promos and social media, which doesn't really mean anything, you have Becky come back to face Charlotte. I don't think that's necessarily the way to go, but that's, I could see that happening. It's a good way to bring, you know, frenemies, whatever it is. It's a good way to bring Becky back. It's a safe pick. I'm going to go, I think Charlotte's going to win this one. I mean, I have nothing against Charlotte. I love Charlotte, face or heel. It's just like the quick title reigns and the racking up the titles, boom, 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 so fast. For me, that's not my favorite, but I'm a big fan of Charlotte. But
you
I'll
want
go
me
Charlotte.
To back you up? I'll back you up.
I was going to throw it to you anyway, good sister. Save me like you always do. All
right. So obviously Nikki Ash is going to lose no matter what. I don't see her having a long title reign as much as it sucks. And I think the other thing is, like, like I told you last on Monday, Rob, when I low key roasted already. You. Should I quote it? Should I quote myself here?
Go for it.
Just put yourself over. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna quote myself. So Rob was yelling at us because we were talking about Raw, and he was yelling at us, and we were talking about spoilers.
I was screaming.
Yeah. And then he was also screaming at us because he was talking about how Cross and Hardy is the greatest thing.
Do we want to do this?
That ever happened.
Do we want to do this?
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened, like in wrestling or ever?
You're leaving out. There's three parts to that story.
He literally used the word genius.
I think it was brilliant.
It doesn't matter.
So then I said.
This
is
where we trigger everybody.
No. Rob, would you then argue that having Nikki lose clean almost every match since she has won the Raw Women's title also a genius?
I don't see the correlation.
Because Hardy, right? Because Cross has lost. Both Crosses have lost. You're not elevating the NXT title and you're not elevating the Raw Women's Championship. You're making them look stupid.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And again, like, I've had this conversation with you guys. I want to bring it up. And that's a whole different thing, the Hardy Cross thing. I've talked about it on the show before, too. We did that whole NXT thing. But taking it to this match, Kimmy, what do you got on this one? Because I thought you were backing me up here. I think you're turning me down.
Yes. This is going into it. This is why Cross is going to lose. I haven't built her up to anything. So,
you gotta
Charlotte's going to win. And Charlotte is going to pin Rhea Ripley. Ash ain't even going to get pinned.
She's totally getting pinned.
Okay. No, she's not. Because then Ash is going to pull the whole baby face. Oh my God, I didn't even get pinned to lose my title.
Interesting. Okay, I see. I'm confused on all this. Nunes, help me out here, man. I usually turn to you in times of trouble.
So, when Nikki first made this gimmick change and Rob showed me the picture of it, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, God bless your heart so much for swearing on this podcast.
I was like, what the hell is happening? And again, like we've talked about before, there's certain things that shouldn't work, and they do. And I don't know why I like Nikki Ash, but I do. It's like we've talked about before with RK Bro. We need to have fun. I feel like, why not give Nikki the win? I mean, Charlotte doesn't need the win. I mean, like we've talked about last year with Rhea's stop and go momentum. It's just, I just have the biggest feeling that Nikki's going to win. Why not?
Interesting. Let's throw it over to Mike, because Mike is always a proponent of Nikki Ash and fun and silly, like you said on the show. So I'm very interested to see. Are you picking Nikki Ash as well, Mike?
Absolutely not, because the reason why Money in the Bank is fun and silly. SummerSlam is for raining on all of our parades, and that is what you do here. So no, absolutely not. And it shouldn't be Nikki Ash, by the way. I made my genius call at Money in the Bank, and it came out. It was a perfect prediction, and I said that it would be another short title reign for Charlotte, which is not the boldest prediction, but it was still true. It needs to be a short title run for Nikki Ash as the superhero. First of all, let's throw out Rhea Ripley. They've run her character over with a truck, and it's not coming back anytime soon. She's gone. I truly believe some people are better as champions, and some people are better chasing the champion, and that's just the way it is. Charlotte Flair is better as champion, and it kills me. She should be a four-time champ with four long-ass runs that no one could beat her because she's that damn good. Yes. But if we're going to give her 12, 13, 14, 15, 78 short title runs, I'll take that too, because she's cocky. She's got the look. She's bred to be a champion, literally. Nikki Ash is the complete opposite of that. Nikki Ash should constantly be having to battle and scrape and push that boulder up the hill, and she should get knocked down time and time and time again. So the few times that she does do it in a miraculous, fun, grabbing the Money in the Bank briefcase sort of way, we all get to pop and go woo-hoo, and that's great. But the thing is, if you listen to the crowds, people are not behind Nikki Ash. For whatever reason, they're not buying it. And I think that is, again, because Nikki Ash winning winning the Money in the Bank briefcase and cashing in gave us that, oh my God, that came out of nowhere pop.
Yeah.
that doesn't last, that pop doesn't last weeks and months later. That goes away very quickly. The kind of pop that you get that lasts for your champions are when, what I would do is I have her lose here and I have her get screwed. Charlotte puts her feet on the ropes, something. It's make us feel heartbroken for Nikki A.S.H. that she shouldn't have lost the title that way, but she did, and she does get pinned. It's very important that she gets pinned. Now we build her back up. If we want to truly get momentum and behind Nikki A.S.H. and have people root for her, we've seen that it's possible for her to do it. It took a gimmick to do it, but she did it. Now let's do it the old-fashioned way. Let's build her back up. We've gained some fans for her. We have sympathy for her. Now we can start to root for her and have her work through that undercard and get wins until she finally earns her way back to fight whoever, because it's not going to be Charlotte, because Charlotte's going to win and lose the title 8 times in between. But eventually, when she gets back for that title, we're going to be going, okay, she's earned it. That's my girl. You proved him wrong. You won time after time after time. You finally got your shot and you beat the odds. Now I have an underdog babyface champion that I can root for and I can get behind. The pop was great. It was a great short-term thing, and that's all that it should be. But SummerSlam has come. Dark clouds are ahead. The Evil Queen is going to be champion once again. And Charlotte is your 12-time champ.
Really, really well said, man. That's great all around. Just looking at the comments before we throw it to Bill, I know we're in Dynamite territory, so we'll keep it moving.
Wrap it up.
Already watching, and I got a podcast in an hour, so I'm good.
We're making good time here, guys. Doing great. Wes saying, I'm going with my heart, and I'm going to pick Rhea Ripley. Reese checking in the chat saying, Rhea pinned Nikki, then Charlotte pinned Rhea on Monday. So I'm going with Nikki winning. Very, very interesting. Bill, your thoughts on this triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship?
And this has just been, it has all the potential in the world. It should have had all the potential in the world to be awesome, and it just sucks. It's just like, we don't care. It's just. Because you just feel like they're going to, whoever wins is just going to fight the other two for an infinite amount of time until Becky Lynch comes in or they switch everything up. I mean, Nikki A.S.H., I mean, I give her a lot of credit. The reason, like, some people do get into her is because you genuinely believe in her, and she made this really dorky character work. But unfortunately, instead of embracing that and be like, oh, she's a dorky character that works, they're just like, no, we're going to remind you she's just a dork and she's not cool and she should lose and you shouldn't get behind her. Like, this woman should be on at 8 o'clock when kids are up, and you should be marketing towards children. It's not my original idea. I saw it on Twitter and it was a really great idea. It's like, all her matches are on at 10 when kids are asleep. You're not marketing. It's a kid's gimmick. You're not marketing towards kids. You're letting the hardcores just sit there and be like, yeah, this sucks. It's like the Hurricane and Mighty Molly, but with less fun to it. And like, Nikki Cross is always going to work really hard, and she's always going to put on a great match as best as she can. But Charlotte's going to win this one because this is what she does. I think they've lost all confidence, like Mike said, and Rhea Ripley, and they're just going to have Charlotte win it again. And I think they're just in a holding pattern for Becky and Charlotte again. And that'll be that. It'll be a solid match, but a match we're going to forget about in like a month or two.
Yeah, really interesting. We got everyone on this one, right? Let's move on to Drew and the Jinderella story. I have been so wrong on the Drew picks like throughout this pandemic era. I'm waiting for the fans to come back. I'm waiting for his big victory. And it just hasn't happened. I've been so wrong on this one. Drew's got to win this one, right? Drew's got to win this one. I got to pick Drew McIntyre. Good as brother. Help me out.
I will never, ever be a Jinder Mahal guy.
No, never. Don't hinder the gender, bro.
No. It's Drew. I guess with their... I don't even know why this feud is happening. What did Drew, like...
Motorcycles.
Destroyed his bike.
Motorcycle and the sword.
He had his lackeys... Drew wins this one.
Put Heath Slater at the top of a ladder.
That's the way it should be. Yeah. It should be Heath Slater. Heath Slater.
Heath Slater, man.
Heath Slater.
No one picked up on that. It's just like more like Heath Slater, am I right? That should have been the thing.
Two Claymore kicks and it's over. We're going home. It's Drew.
Yeah, Jacob on the chat from YouTube saying Drew McIntyre. Very interesting. Let's throw it over to Mike.
All right. So, the Nunes, the fact that you hate Jinder the way that you hate him is why.
Just,
no, say you hate him. It makes my point better. Jinder is such an 80s heel. Like, it's so right out of 80s, but it's, in a way, I think it works because he has real heat. Like, people want to see Jinder Mahal get his ass kicked. And whether you love or hate Roman Reigns, I don't think anyone's like, I want Roman Reigns to just get absolutely destroyed. I want someone to beat the crap out of him. Well, but people like want to see Jinder get destroyed. And I think that's kind of a special thing. And I can't help but sort of respect it. I think Drew's in a no-lose situation here because he's out of the title picture. He needs to stay out of the title picture. I think he's primed to go to SmackDown when they do this reshuffling sort of thing. And you can have him get the win and sort of like build his momentum back up. And depending on how fast you want to move him to the main event in SmackDown, maybe give him the win. And I think that would be great. But I picked with my head before. I got to pick with my heart at least once. This is going to be the upset of the night. Jinder Mahal, by hook or by crook, is going to beat Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is going to be forced to re-find himself, get back to his Scottish roots, and pull another tooth out of the Loch Ness Monster, whatever it is that he does. And then he's going to go on his, tear on SmackDown. In the meantime, you give immediate credibility to Jinder Mahal, who will then turn around and in 1980s fashion face and defeat Damian Priest and become the United States champion. Because what a more horrible way to boo. Like, I think Jinder is in a prime spot to become the United States champion after Damian Priest.
Dude, your booking has been dead on. I wouldn't be surprised to see
that. That all makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Very really well said. Bill, I know you have some thoughts about this one, my friend.
First off, I'm at the beginning of Dynamite. It's just captivating right now. There's so much shit happening. But I got three words for you guys. Punjabi, prison, Matt.
No.
That's where this is heading. No. And if you think this is an audacious statement, you haven't been watching the product. I can absolutely see what Mike is saying. Like, I could definitely see him being the guy to take it off of Damian Priest. Although I do think it might be The Miz, but I could definitely see what Mike was saying with that. I think Drew's going to lose this match because he's just beaten the crap out of them so many times that he has to lose. Like, what was the point of all this if Drew has just steamrolled everyone all the time? So, but I do think we get Extreme Rules is coming up, like Kimmy said, Punjabi, prison, match, and that's where Drew takes the win. The ultimate clash of 3MB, and if they can somehow get Heath Slater to be the special guest referee, that would be a stroke of genius, so that means it's not happening. So.
Interesting. Shout to Kofi Wheatston from the Dirty Heels podcast.
Oh my God.
That's our guy, our good friend Kofi. Dirty Heels, they are awesome. They always support us, so thanks to you guys. Great
always
interview.
The energy,
yeah, so they're so always. Much fun. At any show. Show is just better with them. They just had Big Cuzzo on, so shout to them for that interview. Let's throw it to the Goodest Sister. Your thoughts on Jinder versus Drew McIntyre.
Bill, there's a pay-per-view in between SummerSlam and...
Is it called the Punjabi Prison pay-per-view?
No, it's called
and
Clash.
I don't want to hear about it. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what it is.
It's called Clash of Champions.
Yeah, and I hate that because I used to be a big WCW fan, and this Clash of Champions thing is utter bullshit. So, I mean, ask me how I really feel, but, you know, it's like Starcade being a house show. But,
God.
I didn't hear no. Meanwhile, Sting is kicking the crap out of people on Dynamite.
I
so
love
here we
it.
Go.
Spoilers, Bill, spoilers.
I'll make it short for you. I picked Drew. I picked Drew. Let's move on to Reigns and Cena.
Wow.
We need more Claymore.
She's running the show. All right, well, let's do it. Let's take it to the main event, which I would assume would be the main event. First, let me say this. It's been the summer of Cena. He's done a great job. He's really embraced the fans. I love that the fans are almost 100% behind him. Yes, they're
really weird.
They're pumping in noise, which I don't think is great when you have fans they are. I mean, it's on record, right? They're pumping in noise, which you have the fans come back. Like, really? Like, can we at least have that be organic? But anyway, that's a whole another story.
When they're not reacting, you got to do something for TV.
Fair. But the fans have been genuinely, it seems, behind Cena. He's been doing the dark matches. He's been just really going the extra mile. That video of him helping that kid walk from the wheelchair, all right in the feels, man.
Oh,
amazing. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. I love that stuff. But Cena taking on Roman Reigns, this is the booking we kind of saw and wanted. I'm happy to see Cena back. He was never one of my favorites, but I like this role for him. But ultimately, I'll say what I said before he was officially announced for SummerSlam, or officially returned. He is essentially here to put over the head of the table, and that is this man, Roman Reigns, who is still going to be your Universal Champion. And let's throw it over to the head of the table at the Neighbor's house, Mr. Chris Nunes.
This is a pretty easy one. I have some fantasy booking in my head. I do think Roman's going to win, but in an alternate universe, Cena wins and then Big E cashes in on him. I don't see that happen. I mean, I don't think that'll happen, but for some reason that's rolling around in my head. It makes sense for Roman to win. I mean, come on, Cena's what? He's at 16 right now, or he would tie Ric Flair?
So no, he would, and that's
no,
a great point.
It would be 17. So he tied 16 at Royal Rumble,
which he's kind of used in his. But the promos have been fantastic. That last one, guys, if you're not watching, watch the promo between Roman and Cena. That was fantastic. But yes, they brought up that point, right? Mm-hmm. That would make him the 17th time beating Ric Flair, yada yada. So great point.
But yeah, at the end of the day, just like I said prior. Roman, I mean, this is a year now that he's been champion, correct? He won it last year's SummerSlam.
Is that right?
He's
he returned at SummerSlam. He won it at Clash of Champions. That's why it was called like something you wouldn't expect. And then Reigns speared the Fiend, and he beat the Fiend at Clash.
Oh yeah, the you'll never see it coming.
I never see it coming.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, I think they're gonna eventually set up for Reigns and The Rock at WrestleMania, so this will be a very good spectacle match, but Roman wins it.
Reigns the Rock, I am here for that. That would be amazing. I'm so here for that. Kimmy, what do you got?
I'll be there for The Rock and Reigns if it happens at WrestleMania 38.
I'll answer bragger.
Hey, I didn't get my Arthur Ashe tickets. I won't get my I won't get my Survivor Series tickets. It's okay. So I find it interesting that Cena kind of asked for more dates than WWE was first offering him. Not saying that that means anything. I was just saying that that's very interesting in my head. Reigns is obviously winning. And then Rollins is going to get his title match that everyone stole from him. But I don't know how we're leading to that. That's my other thing, too. Like, Rollins has been screwed. And, like, this is even biased. This is the storyline. Rollins has been screwed out of 3 title matches.
I think Finn Balor has something to say about that, though.
Yeah, Balor has something to say about this. Everyone's cutting Seth. This is ridiculous.
Baron, I don't know. Corbin? I just saw two guys that got fired from NXT have a better match with Sting than Seth Rollins. That's all I'm saying right now. So,
don't think that's true, but okay.
Oh yeah, they just killed it. There's a double scorpion flack. It was amazing.
I'm a fan of the show.
You know who also killed Sting? I guess.
Yeah, and not.
That's not a good thing.
I don't know if that's a brag.
No, I mean,
we don't talk about that.
They killed it with Sting. They didn't kill Sting. That's what I'm saying.
Oh man, where are we here? We're all over the place.
I was a little Sting throwing out.
Go ahead, Bill.
So fantasy booking, tinfoil around the hat. Wouldn't it be lovely? Wouldn't it be amazing? And just the crowd reaction if Roman Reigns beats the ever-loving crap out of John Cena, and then Big E comes out and cashes in and wins. Like, people are just booing. They're like, we wanted Cena to win, and either they do the thing, the Brock thing, where he destroys Cena.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Wouldn't make as much sense if Big E comes out, or then you just have a longer Big E-Roman match. Or they go tooth and nail, interference from the Usos, and then Big E comes out to save the day and right the wrongs, and it sends everyone home happy. I think that'd be really cool, because I think a Roman Big E feud, fresh, fun.
Yes.
Give Big E the chance to talk on the mic and get serious and do something except fight Apollo Crews and his in Baba Tunde. Sammy Guevara just proposed to his girlfriend in the middle of Dynamite. So I'm just giving play by play right now. Whatever, Rob, you're gonna read on the internet. It's 2 minutes in. Spoiler.
Make him angry. Make him yell at us again.
He's not gonna yell at me. Come on, please. But I can.
It's true. He's right, though. He's right.
Right. Because you see me when I'm very angry. And but I think the thing with Cena and Roman, I think this is gonna be a very, very good match.
Yeah.
there's only an inkling of me that sees John Cena winning. There is no long-term value in John Cena winning. The only other thing that would send people home happy, and WWE, there's been people that asked if there was any big things for SummerSlam. A lot of journals saying there's nothing that they know of that's planned, you know, to compare it to, like, you know, they're like, because people were saying this SummerSlam doesn't have the vibe, doesn't have the big fight feel as they used to. And there's a show in Chicago that has more of a feel to it. And so they're like, could The Rock make his appearance then?
Ooh.
And if that's the two ways you send the people home happy, well, there's three ways. John Cena wins. Don't see that happening. Big E cashes in. Yes, can see that. The Rock showing up in some way. The Rock doesn't even have to say a word. He just has to point and do this. And we've set the head of the table for whenever. It could be a year from now, and people will be like, yes, that's the match we want to see. And I think that would be really smart of WWE to give people something fun and long-term to be looking forward to, because they're not right now. And that's, again, not me being, oh, you like AEW, so you're going to say anything negative in WWE. I get it all the time. No, I want to look forward to something, because I think Rock Roman, that's a fun match. That's interesting. There's drama there. Which way does anyone in the family go?
Yeah, exactly.
Good. And that's what I'd like to see.
It writes itself.
It should write itself, shouldn't it, Chris? But will it?
I mean, we would all go nuts if The Rock came out. We all popped for Cena in this household. I'm not going to lie, but I don't think you do two or multiple pay-per-views in a row with that big. And I mean, it would be awesome. I prefer it, but
you have to do something.
Yeah, right, for sure.
Is cold as ice. And listen, if you haven't seen John Cena in the Suicide Squad, go see it. It's resplendent. It's a hard R, so don't bring the kids. But he's really good in it, and he's going to have his own series with the Peacemaker. It's going to be great.
I love that he's doing all the interviews in full character or costume. I should say, not character. But yeah, that's very interesting. Mike, take us home on this one, man. I feel like you got something good.
Yeah. So I think this is Reigns, as we all kind of do. I think it's too early for The Rock if we're getting WrestleMania. I'm not saying hotshot it at Royal Rumble, but I think maybe do that for Survivor Series. Also, like with Rob said, back-to-back pay-per-views with that big return at the end. It might be a little too soon for that. But I think we all know it's eventually leading to The Rock, and we're all happy with that. I am not very excited about this match, because I thought WWE was actually going to do a better job in making me think that John Cena could win this. Rob, you talked about how great the promo was on Friday. I think the emotion was great. I think the message was stupid. I think the message was John Cena saying, I know I'm going to get my ass kicked, but look out, I might get you in a roll up. And I just don't like, that's really Cena. Like, is that your way of getting in the person's head? Is I only got to be better than you for 3 seconds. Like, it was so not John Cena to me. I've been expecting.
Goofy too, because he's like, you ran up, I'm gonna, because he does the John Cena thing where it's all, here's the inside references. Yeah. If you get the serious promo and said, all I need to do is beat you for 3 seconds, totally different.
Maybe. Yeah. It's, and I could
John
see
it's not that way though.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, no, and Cena can give serious promos and he can give great serious promos. I haven't felt like he's really taken this thing seriously. Overall, I was expecting to have that doubt in my mind like I had going into WrestleMania. I was like, shit, it really could be any three of these guys. And I picked against Reigns. It was, as I said, it's the last time I will ever pick against Roman Reigns till he finally loses. So I think that's why he's gonna win here. And I'm not even remotely concerned. As far as Big E goes, I kind of want to see him make love to the Money in the Bank briefcase on the top rope for a little while longer. I don't know if you guys saw that video.
That's a fair point.
I love Big E.
It's the healthiest relationship in WWE right now.
Completely. healthiest since Otis and Mandy. But I love him with the briefcase. I want him to hold on to it for a while longer. So I hope there's not a cash in. If there is a cash in, I think it would be much more exciting if he cashed in the Reigns, Reigns-Cena match as opposed to Lashley and Goldberg. That's what I'd like to see.
Very well said. You know, SummerSlam is always a great place for a cash-in, but will we see it? Who knows? But we are in Dynamite Hour, so let's get out of here. But first, let's get that shameless promo out of the way. Bill, we'll start with you so you can go watch Dynamite. What do you got?
Yes, if you must follow me on Twitter, and I don't know why you would, I am at BodkinWrites, WRITES, but I'm mostly tweeting about wrestling and retweeting stuff from thepopbreak.com, where I have been running this site for the last oh gosh, math, 12 years since 2009. So every day we are covering film, television, music, anime, comic books, pro wrestling. We have a whole podcast network. I am the co-host of the Socially Distanced Podcast, which I'm going to be recording in about 40 minutes. We're doing What If this week. The first two episodes, myself and my co-host Al Manarino and our special guest Ken Grandpierre. We're going to be doing that tonight, and it'll be dropping on Friday on Apple, Google, Anchor, and Spotify. Follow Pop Break at the Pop Break on Twitter, /popbreak.com, all spelled out on Facebook, and at the Pop Break on Instagram. And you can see Mike will be debuting for us soon. Kimmy writes for us. Rob writes for us. And I mean, Chris is basically part of us. He's like our mascot. We love him. So he's great. He's like,
he gets us the interviews. Chris gets us the interviews. I walk into HorrorCon. He's like, Velvet Sky wants to talk to us. Well, it was Ashley Massaro at the time, RIP. But I was like, they just want to talk to Nunes. They don't want to talk to me.
He's a dapper, charismatic son of a bitch.
He smells great.
You got that smell brings him in.
Yeah, you are. I'll keep saying it to the day I die.
Mike, give us some of that shameless promo, bro.
Facebook and Twitter at Closet Champ. I got an episode dropping tomorrow. I'm talking about these picks a little bit more in depth. Also doing all my picks for TakeOver 36. I think I got some off the wall ideas for that one. Very excited to be starting writing for the Pop Break and just hanging out here again. Facebook, Twitter, Anchor, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Apple, anywhere you can find podcasts, do it. Leave me a review and get those numbers up. And looking forward to transitioning to video soon and doing some YouTube stuff. So, yeah.
Can't wait. All right. How much time has everyone got left? Kimmy, what do you got for us?
I do a lot of things. So.
Yeah, Bill's got somewhere to be in 40 minutes, yeah, so keep it concise, Kimmy.
I literally have to host this thing, and I have zero questions ready, so don't worry.
Do you all know that my anxiety crashes under pressure? Oh, my God. Jesus. Okay.
One more year.
So if you want to follow me, if you must, like everyone else said, Kimmy_Sokol on Twitter, and then Kimmy Talk Wrestling on Instagram. My mind has been not there, so I've taken a much long break. So after I come back from vacation, I'm hoping to start up the reviews and stuff. But I am going to go live on the No Holds Bar Network, which you can see Kyle and Tiff do all the stuff on the All Elite Podcast. And Tiff. Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, Rob has beef because doesn't want to bring.
Don't bring it up. Don't do it.
There's no beef. If anything, everyone people have beef with me.
Oh, you have. So
you can see Tiff do indie talks.
You guys will be back real soon.
New York strip steak, this guy.
This is a beefy household.
I do stuff with Ring of Honor too. I have an interview with Nicole Savoy dropping after tomorrow, and she wished me happy birthday. Wasn't that nice? Then you could watch the quarterfinals for the Ring of Honor Women's Tournament that drops on Monday. And you could also see how Bill and I's bracket just bust over the next couple weeks.
Never ask me to pick stuff. I'm horrible at it. Predictions panel. Oh.
And then there's virtual signing stuff too. I think Quinn McKay is the 28th. Mm. And Sunny Kiss.
Concrete Rose.
And if you're in the Northeast area, check out Legends of the Ring. There's a lot of cool guests there, including Lana. Super hyped. And I think that's it.
October 2nd.
Yeah, October 2nd. Look on the Legends of the Ring Facebook because I don't know the exact hotel off the top of my head.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, well, maybe we'll stop by that one day before my birthday. That should be awesome. But, guys, thank you so much for making the time. Billy, thank you for letting us cut into your dynamite time.
Thank you, bro.
And, guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone, stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.